People often say they are proud of their country, proud of their ancestors and all they achieved. Presumably it also follows that you can be ashamed of your country and the sins of its fathers. The longer I spend as a Briton living abroad, the more I'm aware that Britain is nothing special, just another peculiar character in the global ensemble. The longer I spend as a Briton living in Africa, the stronger grows my disquiet at the red, white and blue cloak that trails behind me. The special relationship between Britain and South Africa, as Jacob Zuma somewhat lazily described it last week, was in the spotlight during the President's state visit to Chile, London. It was a cultural collision that saw the Zulu polygamist shed his leopard skin for a white bow tie, as the Queen made him an honorary Knight Grand Cross of the Order of the Bath. Paying his diplomatic courtesies, Zuma told an audience, "Though we may be a long way from South Africa, we feel very much at home here." He noted Britain's role in the struggle against white minority rule, providing refuge to Oliver Tambo, giving birth to the anti-apartheid movement, and supporting the transition to democracy. Zuma said that Britain is South Africa's biggest foreign investor and source of tourists. He pointed out that statues of two former South African leaders stand in Parliament Square, Generals Jan Smuts and Nelson Mandela. Zuma added, "There are many South Africans of British descent. The culture, language, institutions, practices and values of this nation have left a distinctive imprint on South African life." It was a delicate way of putting it after the salty exchanges between Zuma and the British press. Stephen Robinson's assault in the Daily Mail bore the deathless headline, "Jacob Zuma is a sex-obsessed bigot with four wives and 35 children. So why is Britain fawning over this vile buffoon?" Zuma hit back at Britain's military imperialism of the past and continued cultural imperialism today, with its presumption of superiority over barbaric Africans. This provoked Graham Boynton in the Daily Telegraph to suggest that Africans should be grateful for that legacy. He wrote, "The European colonials gave Africa efficient and comparatively honest civil services, a vision and a work ethic that saw the construction of road and rail networks, modern harbours and airports, and education systems based on European standards." "Enough is enough," said the South African press, rallying around the president. A leader column in Business Day chided, "Let us help you guys in Fleet Street with a little news. Life in SA, even under Zuma, is, trust us, a lot better than in the UK. Sure, Zuma's imperfect. He may even be a lousy leader. But he's our lousy leader. We'll deal with him." Jeremy Gordon, Zuma's biographer, fumed in the Daily Dispatch that Robinson's polemic bespeaks a racism and contempt that the English specialise in. Basically, such a piece is saying that the man with the black skin, who hails from Africa and who subscribes to polygamous marital system, is a lesser breed. He's a sex-crazed buffoon. Gordon went on, "There's not much funny about what Robinson has written, and of course its success lies in its appeal to the basic racism of the English about the laughable black men in Africa who sit under a tree, have many wives to till the fields for them, and never acquire Viagra." My mind went back to my first days living in Africa when I toured Rorke's Drift in KwaZulu-Natal. There was the story of the disastrous British defeat by Zulu warriors at Isandlwana where, facing death so far from home, Colonel Anthony William Durnford exulted his surrounded men, "Fix bayonets and die, like British soldiers do." Then came the heroic British defence of Rorke's Drift. What's less well remembered is the Battle of Ulundi 6 months later, in which the British, reinforced with superior arms, crushed the Zulus and burned King Setshweyo's royal homestead to the ground.